It's Wednesday, March 11th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. And continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. A few little updates here before we head on to the rest of the Daily Audio Stash. I wanted to let you know about some more entries in our Politicians on Pot feature. This is where we ask you to send letters to your United States senators and your United States representatives, so three letters, and ask them about their position on legalization of marijuana. Or medical marijuana, or industrial hemp, whatever you want to ask them about. But when they send the reply letter back to you, send it to me, and we'll post it up on the stash. I've got them all cross-referenced by political party and by state. So if you want to know what your representatives in your state think, we'll have it available there on the Daily Audio Stash. I just posted one from Representative Frank Cravatil Jr., a Democrat from Maryland, and Senator Susan Collins, the Republican senator from Maine. Check out the Politicians on Pot button on the right side of the stash, and you can find what all these politicians have to say about marijuana law reform. Also want to remind you about our activist agenda, which you can reach at stash.normal.org/agenda. This is a shared Google calendar where activists from all across the country are posting their events for the cannabis community. And April 20th is coming up, that's right, 420, which unfortunately is on a Monday this year, but the weekend before that, 418 and 419, activists from all across the country are planning their 420 events. I just posted one from Atlanta, Georgia, the Sweetwater 420 Fest, and if you've got an event happening on the weekend of 420, get it into me as soon as you can so we can let the whole country know about it. The address is stash@normal.org. And just put agenda request in the subject line. And on a personal note, I want to let you know of exciting news in my employment here with Normal. I'm no longer contracting for the Daily Audio Stash. I've now been hired on as Normal's National Chapter Outreach Coordinator. Part of my duties will be putting together the stash like I normally do, but I will also be in charge of contacting the existing Normal chapters and helping to form new Normal chapters, and helping them all to become more effective advocates for the end of adult marijuana prohibition. So if you're interested in starting a Normal chapter, or getting more active in the chapter near you, send me an email at stash@normal.org. I'm the guy who can help you out. Now, coming up on today's Daily Audio Stash, we've got our hemp headlines, which lead with the news today of the official appointment of Gil Kerlikowske as our next drug czar. It is our Cannabis Science Day here in the middle of the week, so we'll be visiting again with our own Dr. Mitch Earlywine, who's going to be deconstructing the arguments of Kevin Sabat from the San Francisco Chronicle when he argued against California's legalization measure. In our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, we've got Ja Elect for our Reggae Wednesday. And in our second interview segment, we'll be going up to Big Sky Country to speak with John Masterson from Montana Normal on the results of the Montana decriminalization hearing. From coast to coast, our stash has the most. Check us out every day at stash.normal.org and get ready, because it's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. Seattle Police Chief named Drug Czar today. President Obama named Seattle Police Chief R. Gil Kerlikowske as the nation's Drug Czar today, ending a long search that was slowed as details of drug arrests involving Kerlikowske's son came to light. The administration will remove the job's cabinet designation, reversing an elevation of the office under President George W. Bush, although one senior official said that Kerlikowske would have, quote, full access and a direct line to the president and the vice president, end quote. The source also noted that Vice President Biden was instrumental in the creation of the Office of National Drug Control Policy and would continue to be an outspoken advocate on the issue. Kerlikowske has long been speculated to be the frontrunner to serve as the drug czar, but revelations concerning the arrests of his son, Jeffrey, on drug-related charges complicated the process. The White House acknowledged Jeffrey Kerlikowske's past drug use, but offered no specifics or comment. In his remarks today accepting the nomination, Kerlikowske is expected to reference his family's struggles with drug abuse. According to his prepared remarks, quote, "Our nation's drug problem is one of human suffering. As a police officer, but also in my own family, I have experienced firsthand the devastating effects that drugs can have on our youth, our families, and our communities," end quote. It's nice to see the Drug Czar's office demoted to a non-cabinet post again. It's even nicer that a police chief with experience in one of America's most cannabis-friendly cities, home to a peaceful annual gathering of 300,000 stoners, and some personal experience with drug problems in his own family, is going to be in charge of our drug policy. I look forward to these confirmation hearings. Now, if we could only change those words, drug control, to drug harm reduction or drug regulation. Decriminalization hearing in Montana. In Montana, a higher percentage of marijuana possession cases result in arrest than cases of aggravated assault, vehicle theft, and rape. Supporters of House Bill 541 believe that reducing penalties for possession of small amounts of marijuana would allow law enforcement to focus on more violent crimes and reduce the burden on overcrowded court systems and jails. They believe that criminalizing individuals and forcing them to live with the stigma of arrest and incarceration is damaging, and that the punishment does not fit the crime. If the bill passes, possession of marijuana in the amount of 30 grams or less would result in seizure and a $100 fine. Opponents warn that this is too risky, and they are concerned that this leniency would alter public perception and send the message that marijuana is not a big deal. Proponents of House Bill 541 want to make it clear that they are not advocating marijuana use, but attempting to revise a policy that they believe is harmful, ineffective, and expensive. Opponents caution that passing this bill would send the state on a slippery slope and urge legislators to keep this in mind. Bless the editor who gave the green light to that lead. I've often said that for cops, arresting pot smokers is like shooting fish in a barrel. We're cooperative, compliant, honest, nonviolent, and unfortunately, usually all too eager to present the officer with an airtight case. If your job required you to deal with the worst of the worst, violent, predatory, scum-of-the-earth criminals, drunken louts beating their girlfriends, and the sheer boredom of waiting for traffic stops, a nice, easy marijuana arrest makes for a better evening. You can visit the link from stash.normal.org to see video of the hearing on House Bill 541, and also check out montananormal.org for more information on how to support the measure. Kentucky legislators place Senate drug driving bill as amendment to House crime bill. Nathan Miller from the Marijuana Policy Project informs us of some bad news from a member of the Kentucky Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers. Senate Bill 5, the Drug Driver Bill, has been filed as Senate Floor Amendment 1 to House Bill 369. It is believed that House Bill 369 will be brought to a vote during the next 3 days and that SFA1 will be called. The essence of the floor amendment is that it would allow for a conviction for DUI when a blood test, taken within 2 hours of operation, shows the presence of a controlled substance other than those few listed in Kentucky Revised Statute 218A.090, subparagraph 5. No impairment would have to be shown. This would include marijuana and many, many other substances, such as Adderall, Ritalin, Ambien, and numerous antidepressants. By not requiring impairment, the bill would ensnare many innocent drivers. While the amendment would create a defense allowing for the showing of a prescription and compliance with restrictions, it would cause persons to be arrested, to have to post bond, to have to hire a lawyer, and to have to go to trial in order to prove the defense. Several other amendments to House Bill 369 have worsened the bill, such as increasing penalties for boating while intoxicating and creating a gang theft section of the criminal syndicate statute that would reduce from 5 to 2 the number of persons constituting a criminal syndicate for theft of retail merchandise. The end result is that if 2 people conspire to shoplift, they commit a Class C felony, even if the theft would otherwise be a misdemeanor. The House passed HB 369 before the amendment at 98-0, and the Senate passed Senate Bill 5, 34-1, so I'm guessing that the chances of this bill making it through as amended are pretty good. Please contact your Kentucky legislators and tell them misusing DUI laws to convict people who may not be impaired is wrong. Minnesota medical marijuana passes second committee vote without dissent. The House version of Minnesota's medical marijuana bill passed the House Civil Justice Committee this morning in a voice vote with no dissenting votes. The vote came after powerful testimony from Joni Whiting, whose adult daughter's suffering was relieved by medical marijuana while she was undergoing treatment for the melanoma that eventually took her life. Senator Steve Murphy, the sponsor of the Senate version of the bill, said, quote, "It really feels like the momentum is building, and this is the year we're going to get this done. 1/4 of the country now protects medical marijuana patients from arrest, and there is simply no reason to use Minnesota's police resources to arrest the sick for trying to relieve their suffering," end quote. A previous version of the bill passed the Senate and every House committee in the 2007-2008 session, but was never brought up for a vote on the House floor. Visit our activist alerts and contact your Minnesota rep, and this week, everybody's an honorary Minnesotan, to get this bill on the floor and finally passed.
There were 765,000 marijuana arrests in 2007. That's not for dealers and kingpins, no, that's just for simple possession. Multiply that by the average cost of each arrest, and what have you got? $7.6 billion spent on people just smoking some pot. That's enough money to buy health insurance for every child that needs it. That's enough cash to adopt every stray dog and enough left over to feed it. Mr. Obama, I kinda wrote this song for you. You got my vote for change. Now let's see what you can do.
Visit normal.org today. Who is telling you the truth about marijuana? The government? Scientists? Doctors? Which claims are scientifically valid, and which claims are reefer madness? Every Wednesday, we separate the stems of propaganda from the buds of truth with Normal's look at cannabis science. Well, we're back with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, and before we get started with our regular cannabis science segment, those of us here at the Stash would really like to thank you for your appearance on that CBS Health doc. We posted that here on the Stash on video form, and we also had the audio on one of our shows, and everybody really enjoyed it. How was it filming that CBS interview documentary slash debate with that other doctor?
It was a real delight, and thanks for asking. It was CBSDoc.com, and I ended up debating Herb Kleber, who's a really well-known drug researcher in, you know, psychology and psychiatry, and, of course, one of the guys who has the most money related to Marinol. So, as you can imagine, he was pretty pro-Marinol and not big on medical cannabis. I feel like some of the more interesting parts ended up on the cutting room floor, so we actually debated for about 40 minutes for that little five-minute segment, and Herb actually said he agreed with me that for terminal cancer or AIDS patients, vaporized cannabis is probably a completely reasonable idea, but of course we didn't see that in the video. And I also just thought it was very quaint that the woman who did my makeup leaned in close and whispered in my ear, you're the guy who's pro-marijuana. I'm going to make you look better.
Well, that's good to know the makeup artists are on our side.
Exactly.
So yeah, it sounds as if like the parts where you guys were in agreement, they dropped. Maybe that's they're trying to make it more of a point counterpoint and more discussion and less of the agreement parts. Would you think that?
I feel like the conflict is what seems to make things look exciting. And Herb really is behind the Marinol deal. And I felt like the points I made, you know, were pretty effective as far as it taking a long time, the fact that it only contains one cannabinoid, and we know that medical cannabis has multiple cannabinoids. And then I think he's all worried about, you know, this what kind of prescription cannabis would there be and what level of THC would be in it.
Yeah.
And giving me all this trouble about, oh, when cannabis with 18% THC, the Marinol pill is all THC. I mean, it really made no sense, and I really feel like I didn't get to dispute that in as much detail as I wish I could have.
You know, I was thinking that too when I'd seen that part, and he was talking about how would we know about was it 5% or 20%? And I'm thinking to myself, if it was legal, the scientists would study this to the point that we would know exactly what people would be getting, wouldn't we?
Well, and the beauty of, you know, the inhaled vapor is you can monitor your dose as you go. So whatever does the trick as far as your symptoms are concerned is going to be absolutely ideal. I think physicians in particular are so concerned about doses because they're used to really dangerous drugs that have, you know, levels of toxicity where somebody could actually die from an overdose. As we've discussed before, you know, if you're going to smoke 2 pounds, yeah, we might have some kind of concern about lethality. But otherwise, this is just not a drug that has that as an issue.
Yeah, we really enjoyed it. And the next time you get one of those opportunities, make sure to let us know. We'll be glad to publish it on the Stash. Now, you also had mentioned to me offline here, and I've been reading this article for, gosh, I guess it's a week now, because a week ago Tuesday, Kevin Sabet, who's one of the prohibitionists that we see in print quite a bit, wrote an article that was in the San Francisco Chronicle, and this was in rebuttal to the Tom Amiano legalization bill in California. Boy, this one was just so full of opinions that I thought I would get some of your rebuttal to it. Let's cover some of this. He's talking about the tempting idea of legalizing pot to help solve the budget crisis in California. And one of the first things he brings up is that the problem is that, yeah, you'd save the money from the prosecution and the taxes, but the increased use and the increased cost to society would overcome any gains that we'd get from legalization. I'll just let you tackle that one right out of the gate.
I mean, I just don't even know where to begin with this. Kevin has a chapter in my edited book, Pot Politics, and he's a very reasonable guy, but I feel like he's forced into a corner on this issue now, and, you know, much like the, you know, wagging tail of a dying dinosaur or something, he's really grasping at straws here. The take-home message with this cannabis legalization bill is there's money to be gained from a commodity that's already being sold. He's very much concerned about, oh, and then use is going to increase, and then we're going to have all these health-related expenses. In fact, everybody in California who wants cannabis pretty much can have it within, you know, a little while, to the point where it's just, you know, not an issue as far as commercialization is concerned. He cites some data about the Dutch policies and how once the Dutch policies went from just sort of toleration to commercialization, there was a large increase. That's true. However, rates of use and rates of hard drug use are either the same or lower than they are here in the U.S. So what are these new imaginary expenses? I just don't know. And then he harps on the psychosis data, which blows my mind, because the you know, bottom line on this is, you know, I'm still waiting to meet the guy who became schizophrenic from smoking pot, but small effects in large studies of folks who are a little bit weird, not at all diagnosed schizophrenic, have turned into these overblown statements about suddenly there's going to be thousands and thousands of more psychotic people if this happens.
Yeah. And like I'd always pointed out, if there was any truth to that, shouldn't we have seen a whole raft of schizophrenic people after the Summer of Love?
Exactly. And in fact, when you compare across different countries and across different eras, the rate of schizophrenia is actually a little bit down now, primarily because of better prenatal care more than anything else. And so I feel like this concern is just so unrealistic, it's gotten insane. And then he sort of, you know, hints at, you know, gateway things and other stuff like that. It's just not going to happen. I'm concerned that folks are going to be reading this in the Chronicle and think that all these things are true, and so I'm actually, you know, eager to make sure the listeners can dispute this if this kind of stuff comes up.
Absolutely. And you hit upon one of the points that I always make in the prohibition debate is these prohibitionists start from the point of arguing as if prohibition is currently working. As if there's no marijuana smoking now, and then suddenly if it's legal, everyone's going to be smoking. And like you said, everyone in California who wants to smoke pot pretty much is. They've pretty much got access to it. And so therefore, if there are any costs associated with the use of marijuana, they're already being absorbed. There would have to be new costs above and beyond what we'd save in the make in the taxation and regulation for his point to even be valid.
I think the other thing is there are these sort of end-around logic statements that come around addiction. Like, oh, and don't forget about addiction, and, you know, everybody's going to become this cannabis addict. Now, I've said time and again, yes, we do see tolerance and we do see withdrawal. A diagnosis of dependence in marijuana is very real. But let's think about what is that, actually? That means, you know, you need more cannabis than you used to in order to get high. And if you don't have it, you're irritable and less hungry. It's not like heroin addiction where suddenly you're, you know, out on the street turning tricks or, you know, some kind of outrageous thing in order to get access to the drug. And the funny thing is, one of the big symptoms of dependence is spend a lot of time looking for or recovering from or intoxicated by the drug. And unfortunately, people haven't separated that out, and I'm afraid with cannabis, that symptom is usually endorsed because folks are looking for the drug. And with a, you know, tax and regulated market, suddenly I don't have to, you know, spend an hour and a half calling somebody and wondering who's got what and looking all around town, when in fact, you know, literally a 15-minute ride down the street could produce exactly the amount you need at the dose you want, at the strength you want, the style you want. And then the opportunity for even endorsing that symptom is bound to drop.
Well, and it's that same kind of circular logic that says, let's arrest the pot smokers and sentence them to treatment. And then once there's a bunch of pot smokers in treatment, we can say, see, smoking pot is addictive.
Well, and then the irony is that legal troubles is one of the symptoms of abuse, as we discussed last week. So suddenly we can say, oh, look at all these cannabis abusers. In fact, that number is bound to drop with a tax and regulated market because people aren't going to have recurring legal problems.
Yeah, and you mentioned the legal problems, and that was another thing that Kevin argues here in his Chronicle article, is that, let's see if I can find the quote here, very few people have little or no consequences. Most people have little or no consequences from their arrest for marijuana, and boy, that could be no further from the truth than any statement I can imagine.
I mean, the steam is coming out of my ears so bad I'm hesitant to even begin talking, but obviously Kevin's never had a cannabis bust. Even a simple, you know, minor possession bust is a giant hassle just as far as legal fees and things like that, but also it turns into the potential for all kinds of lost opportunities in both education and in employment, and that's just incredibly unfair. And we've, you know, talked about this in the past, but the chance that somebody could lose, for example, federal support for their education because of a marijuana possession bust just fills me with absolute rage, and in fact is going to take folks who really need this kind of support and education the most, and sometimes, and make it impossible for them to get the kind of training they need to have the kind of jobs they want to have a fulfilling life.
Yeah, especially with the economic crisis that we're living through now and the higher unemployment rates, there's no need to be putting more people out of work and to create more financial problems for our states, and to leave that taxed and regulated money sitting on the table for the criminals to take rather than the citizens. I it's just amazing to me that anyone could come up with a rebuttal to that.
Especially in California, Russ. I mean, you and I know some of the folks who work the dispensaries there, and these are folks who really want to contribute to the towns they're in. They're more than willing to donate money. They're more than willing to plant flowers, get parks going, all kinds of things that every other local business does. You know, they're dying to sponsor the Little League teams just like the local taco shop. It's really about giving these folks an opportunity to contribute in a very upfront way because, in fact, that's exactly what they want to do instead of have this weird surreptitious gray area as far as their supplies are concerned.
Yeah, if anyone who had ever been to the dilapidated area of Oakland, California, where the Oaksterdam area now is, can see the power of this marijuana money and this marijuana community in rebuilding areas of towns and revitalizing business districts that had previously fallen by the wayside.
It's you know, got so much potential. I really hope voters are going to keep this kind of thing in mind.
And we'll be keeping an eye on it. It's Assembly Bill 390, sponsored by San Francisco Assemblyman Tom Ammiano. The article from Kevin Sabet is at the San Francisco Gate at sfgate.com. We'll put a link up to that so you can read the whole thing for yourself. And, of course, Dr. Mitch Earlywine is our regular Wednesday guest for Cannabis Science. You can reach him at 420research@gmail.com. Anything you'd like to say in closing, Dr. Earlywine?
Just looking forward to hearing from folks, and keep those cards and letters coming.
All right. Thanks for joining us again.
Talk to you soon.
It's tough talking to kids about marijuana, especially if you might be a parent who dabbled a time or two in your youth. So to help you out, get your copy of Dr. Mitch Earlywine's latest book, A Parent's Guide to Marijuana. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and an expert on the studies concerning marijuana, its effect on health and society, and the methodology behind the statistics. He is a frequent guest here on our daily audio stash. Dr. Earlywine lays it all out without the propaganda and scare tactics that parents know won't work with teenagers. He presents a rational understanding of cannabis, what it is and what it isn't, and why kids shouldn't be using marijuana. You can order today through Amazon.com or check our links at our blog, stash.normal.org. The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your toker tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. It's Reggae Wednesday, and tonight's track is 2009 Marijuana Music Awards nominee Nice and Proper by Ja Elect. Ja Elect is a fresh new voice with a future full of potential in reggae music. He is a paradigm shifter who doesn't follow traditional structures. Ja Elect uses his experiences of various cultures and a wide range of musical tastes to create a sound uniquely his own. His strongest attribute is his writing ability, with lyrics embracing a message of fairness, truth, equality, and self-empowerment. Underground legend Ja Elect is sure to leave a lasting impact on future music. Ja Elect recently released his debut album, American Yard, and to find out more about this artist, check out myspace.com/Ja Elect and zionsgarden.com. Enjoy today's song Nice and Proper by Ja Elect this Reggae Wednesday, and a reminder for smoke artists, the 2009 Global Marijuana Music Awards entry date closes this March 20th. That's next Friday. So check out MarijuanaMusicAwards.com for how to enter. And, registered stashers, you'll get a special MP3 download of this tune. It's Nice and Proper by Ja Elect.
Marijuana, they wanna make me a monster, cause I love to meditate on a natural mystic life of fun. Yeah, I'm gonna smoke a marijuana. I can't be conquered. A natural remedy, I'll keep it nice and proper. Blink up the galwa, sip the herbal tea, heal up yourself with a natural remedy. Why the herb, the number one public enemy? They push out cocaine, cancer, sticks, and Hennessy. Like, every day they're building more penitentiary. And I'm vitamin because I'm plant a good seed. I'm not a politician, but if you ask me, I'll tell you I love the weed. And though I talk about it right here on CD, and I educate my friend when I'm stating intrigue. And I share it with my virgin and we reason and read. And I spoke it with my empress by my side indeed. Rasta, use the root stem, bud, and the leaf. And best believe when I move and got a trick on my sleeve, cause they're going every city on this planet to see. And so no matter what them do, them can't fight the tree. Alright, I said I love to smoke a marijuana. They wanna make me a monster, cause I love to meditate on a natural mystic life of a. I say again, I'm gonna smoke a marijuana. I can't be conquered. A natural remedy, I'll keep it nice and proper. Only a bumbug, I would say them try and smoke a pot. That's the first thing we hear from what the baddest got. You know, kinda got the high grade Hawaiian slack flames in the room when the bubble man chant. Guess it's your electric eye in the spot. In Zion Garden, we are the cream of the crop. And we put Selassie, I and Empress, mine and Pan Cap. And you know, we have faith when we high grade non-stop. So we say, I love to smoke, I'm marijuana. They wanna make me a monster, cause I love to meditate on a natural mystic life of a. I say again, I'm gonna smoke a marijuana. I can't be conquered. A natural remedy, I'll keep it nice and proper. Well, you can give me a banner, you can give me a nickel. And I really matter, cause I just need a little. Hey, load up the colors, must have run down the middle. It's only marijuana smoke I need in my temple. Hey, that's how I am, I say it's all simple. And give a boost to the body, spirit, and the mental. It is a nation and it's just that simple. So put some kind of smoke in my temple. Oh, I'ma say, I love to smoke, I'm marijuana. They wanna make me a monster, cause I love to meditate on a natural mystic life of. I say
natural remedy. I keep it nice and proper.
Percent of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers, and nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and co-workers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORMA. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORMAL, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
We mentioned how there was a hearing in Big Sky Country on the decriminalization of marijuana. Specifically, House Bill 541 was heard in committee. And joining us here to discuss it is John Masterson, the executive director of Montana Normal. And welcome, John.
Good morning.
Now, before we get to the bill, if folks want to get involved with Montana Normal and lobby for these changes in marijuana laws, how can they reach you on the web or by phone or any other way?
Sure. We're easy to find on the web at montananormal.org, or if you just search Google for Montana marijuana laws, we come up right away. Our phone number is 406-542-8696, and our email address is normal@montananormal.org.
All right, great. That sounds like everybody that needs to get in touch with you will be able to. Now, this bill, this 541 that we're talking about, decriminalization in Montana, give our listeners an idea what that would mean if the bill passed.
Sure. Well, current Montana law specifies that 60 grams or less possession is a misdemeanor offense punishable by up to 6 months in jail and or a $500 fine. And what HB 541 would do would be to define a new class of offense for 30 grams or less, and it would specify a $50 fine for that possession, and it would not be a criminal charge; it would be a civil infraction, similar to a parking ticket.
Okay, so up to 60 grams currently is a misdemeanor that you could get criminal misdemeanor, and you can get jail time for it. Let's see, 60 grams, that's a little over 2 ounces. And this one would take it to 30 grams, a little over an ounce, would be just a $50 ticket. Was that what you said?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, what are some of the reasons that people gave in testimony as to why this would be a good idea for the state of Montana?
Well, we had I think it was 9 proponents, people who were there speaking on behalf of the bill, and so there was a wide range of arguments. As your listeners know, there's hundreds of powerful arguments for removing criminal penalties for personal marijuana use. In my testimony, I focused on three aspects of current policy, and those are that criminalizing personal marijuana possession is expensive, it harms people needlessly, and is completely ineffective.
Now, what's the reaction to the members of the committee to the proponents' testimony?
There were some legislators who were very good at seeming interested, and there was one in particular, a former FBI agent, who could scarcely contain himself he did end up just standing up and leaving. He could not hear us. I thought it was a powerful and effective testimony from all the proponents. The opponents, those who were opposed to the bill, frankly were lackluster, and so I think the bill has a chance to at least make it out of committee.
Did they give these opponents to the bill? Did they give some of the typical reefer madness type excuses for why they oppose it?
Yeah, they sure did. They predictably they cited what is the message to the children,
mm-hmm.
And they also cited the what about the fact that that we know this affects your ability to drive. Of course, this would make if HB 541 does become the law of the land in Montana, then it does not change the fact that driving under the influence of any drug or alcohol is still illegal, and so there's it would not change that policy whatsoever.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite little bits of rhetoric that comes from the other side. This argument that if we decriminalized marijuana, all of a sudden there'd be people driving while stoned, as if people aren't already acquiring marijuana now. And how are you dealing with it now? I mean, nothing changes exactly. As far as the DUI laws go, just like you said.
Exactly. And we actually we provided lots of science data. We provided printed articles and studies that showed a couple of things. One, that something like 100,000 Montanans consumed marijuana last year. That's a tenth of our population, which is about typical for across the nation. And so we imagined, what would happen if we had successful 100% enforcement of this law?
Yeah.
We'd put 10% of our population in jail or brand them criminals. And the other science that we provided was the wealth of studies that show that reducing marijuana penalties does not cause an increase in use. And in fact, in many states, they have seen a decrease in use, ironically.
Yeah. And how is the general Montana consensus on this? What does the average Montanan think of this? Do you think that if this were up for a public vote, it would get more support than it would in the legislature?
Absolutely. Of course, the people always lead on this topic, and the legislators get kind of dragged along, kicking and screaming. we did a poll of Montana voters. It was about 8 or 10 years ago, so it's a little dated now, but we asked people, do you think that the drug war is effective in reducing drug use? And 90% of Montanans said no. We asked, do you favor putting people in jail for personal marijuana use? And 70% said no. So we already know that the public is behind this. It's just a matter of whether constituents can come out and convince the representatives in the House to support this bill.
What's the next step for this HB 541? Is it up for a vote coming up soon? And do you think it might make it to the floor?
We anticipate that the committee will vote on this bill later this week, and so it's imperative that Montanans who may be listening contact their representatives, and particularly the representatives who are on the committee. We've got full information about how to do that on our website, montananormal.org.
That's right. Check out montananormal.org and also check out the Activists Alerts map on the right side of our Stash blog. Click that map. It'll take you to Normal's CapWiz feature, which is this online feature. You just plug in your zip code. It tells you who your reps, your senators, who to contact. It's really easy, and you definitely got to take the time to do it. You got to make your voice heard. Now, looking forward to other marijuana law reform in Montana, are there changes to medical marijuana or any other reform that we need to let our listeners know about?
You bet. There's, of course, we do have medical marijuana in Montana now, and there is a bill that is about halfway through the process in the legislature, which would improve that law. It would allow patients to have more plants, possess more medicine. It would add some additional conditions, including PTSD. And it would also allow a patient to obtain their medicine from any caregiver rather than a single designated and documented caregiver. And that bill has passed the Senate, and so its next step is a hearing in the House, and that's next Friday, the 20th.
Is there a bill number on that House side?
It's still being referred to, as far as I know, as SB 326.
Okay, so they'll issue a new number over for the House, and then
I assume so, yeah.
And then we'll get that up, and everyone can know about that.
Yep.
All right. Well, John, it sounds like great work going on in Big Sky Country there. Anything else you'd like to tell our listeners before we wrap it up?
Just that in Montana, in particular, because we are such a small state population-wise, your legislators are particularly accessible to you, and having your voice heard has that much more of an impact, because each and every one of us in Montana is a larger percentage of our Montana population than in the much larger states. So it's easier and more impactful to get involved in Montana.
That's right. You can be a big fish in a little pond in Montana.
That's right.
Except Robert Redford might try to catch you.
Good point.
All right. Well, John Masterson's the executive director of Montana Normal. Visit him at montananormal.org. And thanks so much for updating us here at the Stash.
Thanks, Russ.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.normal.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with a reminder that if you're a small businessman looking to reach out to the cannabis community, you can advertise here on Normal Daily Audio Stash. We've got web-only advertising, voiceover advertising, and even full-scale commercials that you can place here on the Daily Audio Stash. We receive about 250,000 downloads a month and 100,000 web hits a month, and your message will be targeting a very focused group of dedicated cannabis consumers. For more information, send an email to stash@normal.org with the subject advertising request, and we'll be sure to get a rate sheet out to you. We can find a way to meet your budget. Just give us a chance here at Normal. Thanks for downloading the podcast and helping to make us the most popular news and affairs podcast on the internet. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.